This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are your closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn, 443, down a quarter. May corn, 448 and a half, up one. July corn, 453 and a half, up one and a quarter. March soybeans were 1325 and three quarters, up 9 1/2. May soybeans, 1311 and three quarters, up 12 and a quarter. July soybeans, 1292 and three quarters, up 12. March wheat was 580 and three quarters, down 6 3/4. May wheat, 582 and a quarter, down 7. July wheat, 586, down 7 1/4. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
This is Thursday, the 23rd's report for grain prices and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. The Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Thursday afternoon. Exports allowed wheat to post substantial gains. Technical trading gave corn an upturn, and soybean values were cut on the news from South America of a bountiful bean crop. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 to 5 higher, 405 to 427. Soybean bids were mixed at 1250 to 1270. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 cents higher, 401 to 426. Soybean bids were 2 to 7 lower at 1266 to 1293. And in the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 3 cents higher at 415 to 436. Soybean bids were 3 to 5 lower at 1285 to 1315. And wheat bids were 5 to 9 cents higher at 550 to 598. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 3 cents lower at 1285 to 1302. Basis was steady at 8 to 25 over the March. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 453.70 to 463.70, down 70 cents, with basis steady at 35 to 45 over the March. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 3 cents higher at 429 to 437, with basis steady at option to 8 over the March. Illinois River Barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids steady to 3 cents higher, 412 to 429, with basis steady to 3 higher, steady to 3 lower at 17 under to option the March. Soybeans ended 3 to 8 lower at 1277 to 1292, with basis steady to 5 lower at option to 15 over the March. And new crop wheat prices were 4 to 8 cents higher at 557 to 566, with basis steady to 4 lower at 25 to 16 under the March. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 3 to 4 cents higher at 446 to 447. These elevators raised their soybean prices 7 cents, with quotations at 1325 to 1332. Soft wheat closed 7 to 8 higher at $6 to $6.05, and Milo ended the day 2 to 3 higher at $4.78 to $4.79. Contract bids for producers for new crop delivery corn in the northern part of the state for October to November delivery at $4.08 to $4.17. Soybeans for October delivery in the northern part of the state at 1064 to 1084. Corn for October-November delivery in the central part of the state at 404 to 424. Soybeans, new crop for October-November delivery at 1072 to 1098. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October-November delivery at 405 to 429. And soybeans for October delivery in the southern part of the state at 1074 to 1113. And July wheat in the southern part of the state is 542 to 568. And that concludes our report. This is David Humphreys, the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. February live cattle, 139.55, down 15 cents. April live cattle, 139.07, down 2 cents. June live cattle, 131.20, up 10 cents. March feeder cattle, 167, up 7 cents. April feeder cattle, 167.80, up 15 cents. May feeder cattle, 168.57, up 25 cents. February lean hogs, 86.50, up 5 cents. April lean hogs, 94.20, down 80 cents. May lean hogs, 102.50, down 65 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that report is not available to us at this time. 13 degrees below zero. Coming up shortly, we'll have a check of color radar weather, but we'll continue with WSMI Farm Director Angela Besch.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. February corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.42. March corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.46. February corn delivered to Scottville, $4.33. March corn delivered to Scottville, $4.37. February beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, $13.27. March beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, $13.18. February wheat delivered to Scottville, $5.85. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $4.42, corn at Scottville is $4.33, beans at Greenfield or Scottville are $13.27, and wheat at Scottville is $5.85. The porcine epidemic diarrhea virus has been worming its way into farms all over the U.S. since last spring. Bill Hollis of Carthage Veterinary Service was at the Illinois Pork Expo this week to speak with members of the pork industry on how to handle this virus.
It is certainly a rapidly moving virus. A couple of things to remember. It is a swine-only virus, so there's not a food safety risk. It does not contaminate the food supply or growing pigs from a health of the product, but it is a very damaging, very aggressive virus creating diarrhea in baby pigs. And so our producers that have mother sows and they're lactating their baby pigs in the farrowing house are the most at risk, and the virus has moved very aggressively through those farms.
Now, since it is a virus, are we able to vaccinate for it?
There are some folks working on vaccines. There's a group in Ames, Iowa called Harris Vaccines that have identified a subunit. So they take a piece of the virus and they put it in another product, a protein to administer. The challenge that we have is this virus affects the intestinal tract. So it's an internal bowel type virus. And to get really solid protective immunity, we need something that gets to that location and helps the body recognize it. So we're very early in the possibility of having vaccines. The National Pork Board, through the checkoff program, through the producers funding, have established several research programs targeted at trying to identify both the vaccine and identify how to grow the virus outside the pig so we can learn more about it.
And what are producers doing to kind of prevent this from happening in their herds? I saw a number the other day that said it's been kind of infected 40% of the herds in the U.S. So how can producers help that not to happen to their farm?
Exactly what we're talking about today. So those producers that are trafficking pigs need to recognize the truck traffic risk that they have. So as they're moving those pigs to buying stations or moving those pigs to other barns, the cleaning and sanitizing of those trucks is critical. If they're bringing anything into their sow farm population, so the supplies, the feed, the trucks that are coming to their sow farms all have to meet a specific level of sanitation or separation so that the virus doesn't get exposed, doesn't create exposure into that herd. A few notables in some of our client bases would be the way that we handle the ingredients going into the feed mill and the way that that feed mill transfers feed to those pigs all create risk that needs to be evaluated, minimized, and we need to recognize that risk and do the best we can to minimize that exposure. You're absolutely right. The virus is moving very quickly. If I have a sow farm and I need to work to minimize that risk, I need to talk to all of my suppliers and know that there's measures I can take that reduce that level of exposure.
Just make sure to prevent hogs from getting exposed to that at all. So kind of all in, all out practices, things like that.
Well, that's true, but you know, even with our best efforts on some of these farms, once that virus gets introduced, there's another whole long group of strategies that we have to take to minimize the impact at that farm. Absolutely, all in, all out in our growing pig barns, but if you think of a sow farm, they may be farrowing every month or even every week, and so those farms have to work very hard at minimizing the level of exposure and at the same time increasing the immunity that those sows will have. So you want that exposure to make its way through the farm so all the sows come into the farrowing house with protective immunity passed to their pigs through the milk.
And what are some early telltale signs that producers can watch for in their hogs?
Well, there's several resources. So our pork producers' resources on pork.org, so the www.pork.org, has images that are available. Our website through our veterinary clinic, which is hogvet.com, also has links to images or actually strategies. So if you have this introduced to your sow farm, or you have this introduced to your growing pigs, the real quick message is it's just watery diarrhea. These mature pigs do not normally have a pipe stream or a watery diarrhea. And unfortunately with the baby pigs, it's so aggressive that they dehydrate very quickly. These pigs that are only a week or two of age, there's not a likelihood they'll be able to survive.
And once it is kind of in the herd, what then? What do farmers do from there?
What we're seeing producers do is establish a load, close, and exposure program. So they're not bringing in breeding stock gilts while they're going through this exposure. And then as we talked in our program earlier today, we're trying to help them create that exposure effectively throughout the farm so not to expose their neighbors, not to expose a great deal of other activity where they're moving pigs, and then close that so we're not bringing in breeding stock gilts, and then work to sanitize the farm, clean up all the avenues that we would have to expose those baby pigs. It's really a block and tackle strategy on the virus, build immunity, create immunity with the mothers, and then it's a clean and sanitize the surrounding environment, the surrounding area, the buildings, so that we minimize the exposure once we have a good level of immunity.
All right, well, here's to hoping that in this next year we can at least decrease the amount of farms that have this virus.
That's right, and work with both the veterinarian and the pork producers so we understand the virus and establish a lot more good information than we have today.
Again, that was Bill Hollis of Carthage Veterinary Service talking about the PED virus. FFA Week is coming up February 15th through the 22nd. FFA chapters throughout the area are preparing for the week, including the Morrisonville FFA chapter. They will be having their 75th anniversary banquet February 17th. I spoke with Leighton Brown, president of the Morrisonville FFA chapter.
Yes, it is the 75th anniversary banquet. Here at Morrisonville, we are very proud of our heritage, and we would like to invite everyone, friends and alumni, out to it. It is on Monday, February 17th at the American Legion. We're going to open the doors at 5:30. We're going to have a prime rib dinner, and we'd like everyone to come out.
And I see it's your 75th anniversary banquet, so I'm going to give you a little date quiz here. What day did that start?
Actually, it started on September 17th, 1939.
Excellent. You didn't have that written down anywhere at all. So at this banquet, what can people expect when they show up?
First, we're going to have fellowship, and then, like I said, we're going to have a very delicious prime rib dinner cooked by Milano's. We're going to have a slideshow of pictures from chapters over the years, so it's going to be a good time.
Kara Brokamp, Morrisonville historian, added what else those who attend the banquet can expect.
We will have two speakers, Sam Detweiler, the current Illinois State President for FFA, and Bill Bullard, who was an advisor here for 37 years, is also going to give some remarks. The banquet is going to kick off our FFA week, and then we'll have the usual tractor shows and four-wheeler shows and games at lunch, and we're working on a t-shirt design now, so that'll be coming out soon.
The Morrisonville FFA chapter is asking those who wish to attend their 75th anniversary banquet to RSVP by Monday, February 10th. To RSVP, you can call Morrisonville High School at 217-526-4432. We will hear more from area FFA students as FFA Week approaches. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.